Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show, Obama re-election, and next Stormfront edition. Can I start by taking a step back here? Who would have thought that an incumbent president, a black man no less, with chronically high unemployment and promising to raise taxes, and with half the country thinking the nation is on the wrong track, would be re-elected? Historically, it's very unusual and in some ways obviously unprecedented, but there's my opening thought for today. We will launch now and then keep the same listener question going for the whole show. How do you feel about these election results, and how do you feel compared to the morning after in 2008? Call us at 646-829-3980 or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show or tweet at Brian Lehrer. Here, just to remind you, is part of a montage we did on election night 2008, just after Obama was declared the winner the first time.
Hey, we're here in the Bronx. Obama, 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 Obama. We're celebrating. We're happy. I mean, all of the Bronx is cheering with everywhere else in the world.
I'm just out on the street. I just walked out in my neighborhood in Fort Greene on at State Point and in Lafayette. There's just a throng of people that... There's a few people playing drums, people are all dancing in unison. It's just a total street party here. It's amazing.
A total street party in Fort Greene 4 years ago. So in a way, it's not fair to compare to that exultant historical moment. Maybe you have a more mature sense of satisfaction knowing health reform and banking reform and an insistence that the rich sacrifice a little more, survived a re-election campaign. If you're an Obama supporter, maybe that's how some of you feel. But how do you feel about this election, and how do you feel compared to 2008? Are you a little disillusioned, even if you're an Obama supporter, if you're happy? 646-829-3980, 646-829-3980, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. But before we get too into it, this is going to be a day of another storm, and there are evacuations taking place, and we really have to pay attention to that too. So WNYC's Richard Hake and David First from New Jersey Public Radio are back with us. Richard, what you got?
Well, Brian, people out on Staten Island, the mayor and the borough president out there, are urging people in those low-lying areas to evacuate. There are no mandatory evacuation orders in place, but a lot of the residents out there feel that they already went through the brunt of the storm. It couldn't be worse. A lot of them fear looters, so they do not want to leave their homes. But nevertheless, police have loudspeakers. They're going through these low-lying areas in the Rockaways and Staten Island, urging people to evacuate. Now, it's really hard to tell where this storm is going to go or how much flooding a neighborhood's going to get. Here's David Manning of the National Weather Service.
Storm surge flooding is very, very locally dependent based on what damage has been done to the coastal protections that are in place, such as sand dunes and bulkheads. So it's extremely tricky to try to pinpoint any one location that might receive the worst flooding.
And he also says that we can all expect rain, strong winds, possibly snow, and the storm could last anywhere between 12 and 18 hours.
I'm in denial. I completely refuse to accept it. David, what you got?
Well, I like your step back at the beginning. My step back was about 10 minutes ago. I just had that feeling of, oh, yeah, there was a presidential race yesterday. It's just the way it is right now as we're preparing for this nor'easter moving in. I was speaking with Mary Gepfert, spokeswoman for the New Jersey Office of Emergency Management this morning. She says she does not anticipate any statewide evacuation orders. Right now, she says the state is protecting assets. That means they're getting ready to pull back emergency and utility workers as conditions become unsafe. Federal safety rules prevent line crews, for example, from working in bucket trucks when the winds are greater than 40 miles an hour. So that could mean utility workers working all around the state. If the winds become that high, they're going to have to stop their work. She says as soon as the storm passes, it will be back to work as they continue to try to restore power to the people who still do not have power since Sandy. But there are some mandatory evacuations town by town in the state. Residents in waterfront neighborhoods in Brick and Berkeley townships have already been ordered out as of last night. Toms River today ordering people still on the Barrier Island, which runs from about Manteloking right on down to Island Beach State Park. They have to evacuate by noon today, probably just emergency workers on the island at this point. Middletown Township in Monmouth County has a mandatory 3 p.m. evacuation from Keensburg to Atlantic Highlands, running from Route 36 to the bay. So with these coasts more vulnerable because of Sandy, they're very concerned about weakened structures and trees. And this nor'easter coming, even if it doesn't deliver a large amount of snow, we could be dealing with wet, heavy snow landing on trees. If trees are A, still standing, and B, if they still have leaves on them, and I know some of them do still have leaves on them, if we remember what happened last October with that wet, heavy snow falling on the leaves, it caused a huge amount of damage. If some of that snow accumulates on utility lines and leaves, and if there's wind as a factor, too, we could be dealing with another mess.
I just want to touch on the election in relation to Sandy in New Jersey. David, do we know if the storm and the cleanup and aftermath of the storm affected turnout? Ultimately, we were hearing so many individual horror stories yesterday, but was there an actual impact? Were New Jerseyans disenfranchised?
Well, we're going to have to see the final results when they all come in. There was so much confusion with this e-voting and voting by email and fax and some powerless polling locations. But NJ.com is reporting there could be record low turnout in New Jersey. Right now, we're looking at about 59% of the state's nearly 5.5 million registered voters. That would be far lower than the record low for a previous presidential year, 70% in 2000. So right now, all indications are that we are looking at a record low turnout.
And we don't know yet for New York either, but Newsday is reporting that after all the noise died down, Election Day in New York State may well have emerged with a similar effect to that of 2008, bringing out a big Obama vote and thus helping a number of down-ballot Democrats. And yet the networks were slow to call New Jersey and New York last night, Richard. Did you notice that? It wasn't like right as the polls closed, as you would have expected. And I think it was because there were fewer votes, or they were harder. It was harder to count the votes.
And there was also a lot of lines, long lines, well after the
right.
polls closed, and they actually promised people that if once they were on the line, even if it was after 9 o'clock, that their vote would be counted. I mean, and this is even in areas that that had power. These were in regular districts in New York City. I know even in my district, there was a line still there after 9 o'clock.
All right, Richard Hake, David First. We'll check back with you later. By the way, folks, we have the storm radar tracker and flood gauge on our website at WNYC.org, and we'll be updating those all day. Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. We'll get back to election analysis in a couple of minutes with Cokie Roberts, who's about to join us, and we'll talk about what comes next. What happens to gridlock? What happens to the fiscal cliff, etc.? But we do still have this weather situation in addition to, of course, the storm cleanup. And WNYC's Richard Hake and David First from New Jersey Public Radio are back in the studio. Richard, what you got?
Well, Brian, the major airlines are now canceling most flights in and out of New York ahead of this significant storm. Again, a little more than a week after Sandy. United suspending most New York service starting at noon today. That's in less than an hour. Also, American Airlines shutting down at 3 o'clock this afternoon. It's also stopping flights to and from Philadelphia at noon. Now, most other airlines, including Delta and JetBlue, are asking passengers to reschedule their Northeast flights for a later date. They're waiving that usual change fee. But there's also some good news as other services come back. The MTA now reporting full restoration on the G Line from the Court Square Station in Queens to Church Avenue in Brooklyn. Normal service is now restored on all lines except for the Z and the Rockaway Park Shuttle, which have no service, and the L, of course, which only runs from Canarsie to Broadway Junction. Also, people in these low-lying areas in the Zone A evacuation areas here in the city, also out on Long Island, there's no mandatory evacuation yet, but city officials and county officials are warning people that if you did experience some flooding during Sandy, you could experience some flooding today. Earlier, we spoke to Newsday's James Mador, who actually lives in Long Beach. He's been talking to other residents there. He says while many are still angry at what they see as a slow response from emergency officials, others are more positive.
They're just sort of getting on with the business of trying to clean up their homes. And one man said to me, you know, we're lucky here in Long Beach because we all have the same goal. Next summer, we need to have our boardwalk and our beach ready for next summer because that's why we all live here, to go to the beach.
And as you can imagine, they're bracing for this upcoming storm now.
I like his attitude, determined to rebuild.
Yeah.
In Long Beach, David.
In New Jersey, utility crews are still working. There's still a lot of people without power working to restore service to still just over 395,000 homes and businesses. And the efforts to restore power to all these people could really be put on hold today. If we have winds up to 40 miles per hour, people will not be able to be working in those bucket trucks. And it's just disrupting life in so many ways. A lot of schools are still closed. I was speaking to the police chief of Berkeley Heights this morning, Mike Mathis, who just happens to be my brother-in-law. Just yesterday, they did get power back to the Summit Medical Group in Berkeley Heights. It sees over 2,000 patients a day, and this is reducing overcrowding that was going on at Overlook Hospital in Summit. Power still not back for the high school. And the school schedules in town, this is one town where some kids are getting back to school, but the schedules are just in disarray as kids are being ferried to this school and that school. Now, JCP&L says they might have power for that school this weekend. This is just one example of what's been going on. Chief Mathis says it's been very difficult to get in contact with JCP&L. They've been making lots of promises about when things are going to be restored that he says have not been kept. He says everywhere he goes in town, he's finding confusion. He was speaking with a line worker from Ohio who was working in town who was having difficulty following the maps given to him by JCP&L.
What he's looking at on the map and what JCP&L gave him to look at to compare to try and fix things was totally different than what is in the sky overhead in the poles. It appears to me that JCP&L is a very unorganized organization. I'm very, very, very disappointed.
So what was on the map not corresponding with reality, he does stress that the line workers, these people who are coming from all around the country and people from Local 456 are working very, very hard in difficult conditions.
And before we go to Cokie Roberts and go back to analyzing the results of the national election, WNYC's Bob Henley joins us on the results in New Jersey, where with all this mess, Bob, with respect to how people could vote and the different experiments for getting people to vote, this is going to be a litigation pileup, you've reported, after the fact.
Right. That's because of the workaround surrounding the email balloting. This is something that was pulled off the shelf that historically was used only for military families or individuals permanently stationed overseas, like someone who works in the oil business. And it was pressed into service in a rather ad hoc way and created really a meltdown throughout all the county seats where they were overwhelmed. And so Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno, who also acts as Secretary of State, took the unprecedented move of extending the period of time for the clerks to resolve these open issues up until Friday. And so, of course, that raises some constitutional questions and does throw up in the air, particularly the results in local contests. Because remember, this is also the year not only municipal officials, but we had for the first time local school board races were merged into the November election cycle when they had been in April in the past.
Did people get disenfranchised ultimately in large numbers, and did it affect the way New Jersey voted for president?
No, I don't think. I think in general what was surprising is just, and this is, I think there's too much of an emphasis right now on what Obama accomplished as opposed to just the general decline in turnout around the country. I do think that, and that was felt in New Jersey, particularly in the 3rd District, where Democrats had hoped to reclaim a seat they had lost when the late John Adler, Democrat, rode unprecedented African-American support in that district into a seat that had been held by Republicans for decades. He was defeated in 2010 when telegenic John Runyon, he is the Eagle standout football player, he rode the wave against the Affordable Health Care Act, and they hoped that John Adler had passed after he was defeated. They hoped that his widow, Shelley Adler, would reclaim the seat. Nationally, they put some money in there, but there just wasn't the same voter intensity. And I do think that the spending, the negativity, all of the billions spent really did suppress the way that people turned out.
WNYC's Bob Henley and Richard Haig, David First from New Jersey Public Radio. Thank you all. We'll check back with you. WNYC's business editor, Charlie Herman, is here. It looks like, Charlie, I hate to ascribe political causes to movements in the stock market, but the Dow is down 300 points.
It's a big drop, and I think that there may have been some anticipation that maybe the market would drop somewhat after we saw it rise yesterday. So maybe people were, anticipating where things may go. But I just spoke with a couple of analysts, and they said they're expecting that there might be a little bit of a drop as attention moves away from the uncertainty about who's going to win the election to now suddenly focusing on the uncertainty about the fiscal cliff. What's going to happen? This is this end of the year where all these tax cuts will automatically be reinstated. There'll be all these cuts to government spending programs, both for defense and for discretionary programs. So a lot of concern there that now suddenly what may be coming through may not necessarily be good for Wall Street.
And I am wary of a very easy narrative that may take hold in much of the media today that says, oh, Wall Street is disappointed that Obama won, and that's why the Dow is dropping. Well, yesterday, when it looked like Obama was going to win and it was election day, the Dow went up by 150 points. So are you saying that it appears to be more just coming to, kind of down to reality on the fact that Congress is going to have to deal with the fiscal cliff now that the election is over? And regardless of who was elected yesterday, this would be happening?
I think there's one thing that is not in this discussion is Europe, and that we've sort of forgotten about, that we've been so focused right now on everything in our election and our economy, that today we had the head of the European Central Bank, Mario Draghi, had basically came out and warned that Germany, the strongest country in Europe, may be at risk, that its growth may not be as strong as expected. So suddenly you have the kind of this combination of factors. You have the presidential election decided, and then you have, oh, wait, Europe is still in trouble. And in fact, Germany may be in more trouble than we had previously thought. So it's a little hard to be able to decipher exactly, oh, this is the market saying they don't like that Obama won, or this is the market worried about Europe. It could be a little bit of everything. I mean, the reality is that there are certain things that are going to happen with this fiscal cliff, with the fact that we now know who the president is, we know who the Congress is. It looks pretty similar to what we had before, and will they actually be able to reach some sort of compromise? And there are certain things that may not be that good for consumers. There is a 2% tax right now in the Social Security tax that we have, the 2% reduction in the amount of taxes that we pay. That will probably come back in our paychecks. We will see less money in our paychecks come January, and the worry is we'll have less money to spend. There will also probably be some changes to capital gains taxes or taxes on dividends, and for really solid companies that pay dividends, you may have to pay some more taxes on it. So these are things that
Obama.
Those could be reactions to Obama. But at the same time, it is a very complicated world. And to just sort of say that there's a single-mindedness to the stock market and the whole entire financial sector, that they're unhappy with this, I think is a little simplistic. It's complicated. And especially with Europe sort of coming back into the fold here, that's that stalking horse that we forget about. And then it reappears every so often. And then we like to forget about it again.
So listeners, when you hear those politically simplistic analyses of the Dow elsewhere later today, remember the complexity lesson that you just got from WNYC business editor Charlie Herman. Charlie, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Jeff Yang and Tricia Rose coming up next. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.